This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a borrow pit to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 30.78 acres more or less, lying east of Road 348, being Orange Lane, approximately 800 feet north of Road 349, being Old Mill Road. The commission has been provided with an exhibit booklet. It was received on May 16th of 2011. Contains a listing of the project team, a table of contents, an executive summary with a project overview, references to compliance with applicable regulations, and in reference to that, an example of the agriculture residential district, conditional use special requirements for borrow pits, the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. It also included a vicinity map, a tax map, a zoning map, and a proposed layout. There's also an email between DelDOT and Solutions IPEM in response to some DelDOT issues, a copy of an aerial submitted to the Preliminary Land Use Service, also known as PLUS, a copy of the PLUS comments dated January 18th of 2011, a copy of the applicant's response to PLUS, a state investment level map, a developed and protected lands map, a future land use map, a boundary survey, an aerial map, a soil survey map, and a USGS topographic map, also a flood map, a groundwater recharge map, and the qualifications of Frank M. Key and Jason Palkowitz of Solutions IPEM. And the commissioners all have copies of that and have had them for a week or so. On May 23rd of 2011, the Sussex Conservation District provided comments in the form of a memorandum which references that there are 11 soil types on this site, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it is not likely that the proposed project will necessitate off-site drainage improvements and off-site drainage improvements, and that there are private ditches on the property. On May 24th of 2011, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments in the form of a memorandum which references that the site is located in the North Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District, that wastewater capacity is available, that Ordinance Number 38 construction is not required, that system connection charge rates will apply when sewer becomes available, that central sewer has not been extended to the area at this time, that conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required, and that if the parcel requires sewer service in the future, the owner could install infrastructure to an approved connection point, and that a concept plan is not required at this time since the sewer service is not available. We have in the department received 40 letters, emails, and petitions to date in support of this application. They were all received prior to tonight's meeting. And we've also received a little conflict in numbers. The the envelope holding the opposition petitions and letters said 259. I counted 264. I probably made a mistake. And there were four additional letters received since. So there are, I'm saying 268 letters, emails, and petitions, signatures counted in opposition prior to tonight.
And those will all be made part of the record.
And they're all part of the record, right. Okay. Both for and against.
Right.
And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, so we thank you. Before we begin, ladies and gentlemen, first, thank you very much for your patience. We delayed you about 25 or 30 minutes this evening to let these other folks go ahead. We're going to stay here just as long as you want us to this evening. Everyone that wants to speak will be heard. Now, these folks are going to have some exhibits, and they're very hard to see from where you are. I want you to feel free to get up, come up, take a look, but let's not have a meeting up here, okay? If you want to come and look at what they're referring to, they kind of have to have them facing us so that we can see them. But you're more than welcome to get up, circulate, take a look at what's happening. And also, sometimes it can be difficult to hear in this room. So if you want to move forward, this isn't like church. The lightning is not going to strike or anything. So you're welcome to come forward if you like. And with that, the chair recognizes Ms. Gilmore.
Good evening, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Heidi Gilmore. I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor, and I'm here to represent the applicant for conditional use 1897, Mr. Russell Banks, and he's here with me this evening. We also have presenting Mr. Frank Key and Mr. Jason Palkowitz, with Mr. Lank introduced from the project booklet. And we're going to be presenting this project to you, which is a borrow pit. And I just wanted to give some clarity. As Mr. Lank had indicated, there's quite a bit of opposition that was submitted in the letter. I actually reviewed those earlier today. Just for clarity of this presentation, we wanted to note that the land area that we're going to be addressing tonight is a smaller site within a larger parcel. So if I could just point to the map.
Sure.
It's limited to this area here, even though he owns a larger parcel of the land. So the I think there's some confusion. One of the letters of support indicated they had originally been a letter of opposition. And our concern is that there appears to be some confusion. And that person in their letter indicated that they had been presented with information that they now know is incorrect once they reviewed the site plan.
Okay, excuse me. Mr. Key, I'm going to ask you if you would, just for a second, pull that drawing around so that the audience can see it. And will you indicate with your finger or your laser pointer or whatever you've got that they're just exactly what area you're talking about? Because if there is some confusion, we want to dispel that right now.
Right. This is Irons Lane right here. This is Old Mill. This is White's Neck. The pit itself is what's in blue and green right here, as it would be filled with water in the end. So the actual excavation is 1,720 feet away from Irons Lane. It is 2,800 feet from White's Neck. It's 500 feet away from Old Mill. It is 948 feet from the nearest home that's not on the property. And it is 665 feet away from the nearest home that is on the property, just to give some distances. So it's tucked back in the site, back in the trees, and behind the wood lines. The dark green areas are actually existing trees.
Okay, now you're starting to sell. All I wanted you to do was show them. They'll make up their own mind as to whether or not it suits them or not. But I just want to make sure they were understanding what you were talking about.
Right. So that site area is limited to 31.02 acres. Within that 104-acre parcel. So my concern, I wanted to bring it, is that it cast some doubt for me on some of the petition, because I'm not sure what information was provided to the people who actually voted in opposition. So we're going to be presenting a lot of expert testimony in those opposition letters. We didn't see any reference to expert testimony, so I just wanted to raise that into the record.
But I ask a question real quick.
Yeah.
How many acres of borrowed site is excavated, proposed?
17. It's 31.02 acres, which the conditional use would be subject to, and the actual excavation area would be 17. So. Okay, so having said that, the applicant is requesting a conditional use for a borrow pit on the 31.02 acre parcel. The pit itself, again, is 17 acres. This land is zoned AR1 and is located along Irons Lane and Old Mill Road. The applicant also owns other tracts of land that are contiguous with this parcel. My client proposes to operate the borrow pit within the naturally buffered area. So as Mr. Key pointed out there, it's kind of tucked away right on that larger parcel, but it's naturally buffered. When you look at the parcel, there's trees all around it, all the way around. And those trees will serve to naturally shield that from view from the road, as well as some possible noise. The applicant currently lives on lands contiguous to this to the south as well. So Mr. Banks is a local farmer. He was born and raised in Sussex County, and his family has a long history of living, farming, and working in Sussex County for over 100 years. He and his family use the land now for farming operations. The actual borrow pit area will be on area that's currently farmed. There would be no removal of trees, which you'll hear me discuss. He currently plants corn, soybeans, and hay on the limited site area, as well as on the contiguous farmlands. And as many farmers we have in Sussex County have to survive economically, they have other businesses, and Mr. Banks also has other businesses in the area. He has a licensed construction business where he provides demolition and dirt hauling services. So that connects us to the borrow pit. Mr. Banks and his family have another respected business in Millville, Banks Liquors. And he also has other business income from properties that he and his wife operate as rentals. So he has extensive business connections, and many of the letters of support are connected to his business through the construction that he has, as well as through the community. And he provides many services to the area, as you can see. So farming is difficult work. I personally know that because I grew up on a farm on the eastern shore of Maryland. The area where Mr. Banks is located is still mostly an agricultural area, and we believe the borrow pit is much like other farming operations and no different from the activities that have long existed in this area, on this property and the wider area. We would like to point out clearly that there is no intention to operate a sand and gravel operation. This is purely pulling soil out of the ground only. We acknowledge there is public concern whenever there's an application for a borrow pit. For the benefit of the commission and the audience, we've taken measures on behalf of the applicant to address all possible adverse concerns, including those environmental fears, traffic fears, and blocking visibility on the site, which you'll hear us address. Our client's operation is proposed to function by having businesses come to the site for soil. Some of those businesses are home builders, contractors, plumbers, bulkheading companies, landscapers, and just general homeowners in need of soil. There are other borrow pits in the area, and Mr. Banks actually uses one of those currently for his dirt hauling services. There are, for instance, two state borrow pits, but they're no longer in use. There is the local pit that Mr. Banks uses now, and there is there was a large borrow pit, which is located now within the seagrass plantation development, and they converted that into a stormwater management pond. There is an old inactive borrow pit on this property, or the adjacent property is here. The north side of the property, but it's, as Mr. Banks described to me earlier, it's a wetter pond, so they only use it in the winter conditions. Is that correct, Mr. Banks?
It was the summer.
This summer, sorry. My apologies. In the course of my client's business for the dirt hauling, he requires materials, and as I said, he obtains soils from the other local borrow pit. And we have many letters of support to demonstrate in the need in that community that my client would serve. There are active borrow pits in Selbyville and one near Georgetown, but you'll see in the letters of support it's just too far for people to go for dirt, and it causes wear and tear on their vehicles or trucks, and it's just too costly. So we believe this site is an appropriate site for a borrow pit if approved by as a conditional use per the county ordinance. And what I've done is prepared a proposed finding of fact and potential conditions, if I can submit those into the record. And I'll be reviewing these as a part of the presentation. So some of the findings of fact you'll hear me discuss. You'll also hear the engineers expand on some of those as well. The conditions that we are proposing would be incorporated into the approved ordinance if you recommend approval. We believe we've met all the criteria for a borrow pit as it's set forth in the zoning code, and we've established the conditions that are typical. The proposed conditional use is consistent with the trends of the uses in the area. As you heard me say, the uses in the area have already had other borrow pits. And you'll see in Figure 15 of the applicant's project booklet other borrow pits that are in the surrounding area. The conditional use will comply with all use regulations required by law, including buffers, setback, and use restrictions. The conditional use will fulfill a need to the area, as you see in the letters of support. The location of the conditional use east of Irons Lane provides convenient and safe access to the site. And we would like to note that we were not required to go to PLUS, but we went anyway. And Mr. Key will address that in his presentation a little bit more thoroughly. But we responded to their comments, and what the original plan was that we had submitted was access from Old Mill Road. And through the PLUS process, they asked through DLDOT for the access to be changed to Irons Lane rather than Old Mill. So you can see that we've dedicated a 50-foot access easement from Irons Lane to the proposed borrow pit operations. And Mr. Banks will install that entrance and maintain the 50-foot easement back to the site. There's no traffic impact study that was required, and no adverse effects on area roadways were anticipated. The engineering calculations based on the applicant's current client base indicates trips per day to the site would be about 15 to 18, and that would include employees coming to the site. The borrow pit will be isolated and integrated into the existing terrain and surrounded by the natural landscape, as well as incorporating those required buffers and the extensive setbacks that we're required to have. There will be no obvious borrow pit operations from the road, so if you drive by, you're not going to see the operations ongoing. There are wetlands on the site, but they will not be included or affected by the proposed use. There's no significant historical and natural features on the site, and the PLUS comments indicate there are no grave sites on site. The borrow pit site will be limited to the proposed isolated area so that the applicant can preserve the trees and then, again, the buffer. We will provide the screening through that natural buffer. You wouldn't have to have anything installed to do so. Studies have been performed on the proposed site, and it was determined that the soils are appropriate for the intended use. Through the establishment of approved stormwater management plan and sediment and erosion control plans, erosion and sedimentation will be highly controlled on the site, and the potential for pollution of surface and groundwater will be avoided or virtually eliminated. The conditional use will not adversely affect area waterways. The area property values will not be decreased by the conditional use because of the scale of the land area that Mr. Banks has for the entire site. Versus the limited portion of the area dedicated to the conditional use. The conditional use will not have a negative effect on the area, and Mr. Banks has documented economic benefits will be generated by the proposed use from the increased value in services to local businesses. He will also propose that he'll have 4 seasonal employees that he can employ as well. The conditional use is compatible with other land uses, because this is very similar to agriculture operations, returning dirt. We believe it's similar to the other agricultural area uses. And the project has been designed to minimize any adverse effects on adjacent properties and to provide protection to nearby residential uses because the operation is so far away. The subject property is in an investment level 3, and the proposed site plan is in compliance with the county's land use plan, which was reviewed and approved by the state, as well as all county ordinances. The conditional use for the borrow pit in an AR1 district requires county approval, and as I said earlier, we met all the criteria to make this an allowed use as a borrow pit. The conditions that we proposed to be approved, beginning at the bottom of page 4, would be that the site plan would be submitted in for planning and zoning to review and approve. He has hours of operation proposed Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday, 7 to 5, and then no Sunday hours. For security, he's proposing a gate at the entrance to the site. Because of the location being so far away, we don't believe any additional security measures need to be taken to protect the public. There's no heightened protection that's needed, in our opinion. There's no need for lighting to the site, so we don't have to address that. One sign is requested at the entrance just for directional purposes so people don't get misdirected. For traffic flow, as I mentioned, there's the entrance and the 50-foot access that will run across his lands to the borrow pit site, and the entrance required by DLDOT shall be completed within the time specified by DLDOT. They'll enforce the stormwater management and erosion and sediment controls. There will be the appropriate buffers, as I indicated, and there would be no site preparation or disturbance until all permits are received. A particular note, there would be no materials brought to this site for processing, mixing, or any other type of purpose. There will be no materials stored on the access road or within any buffer areas. And there's not going to be stumps, branches, debris, or other similar items buried on the site. The operation shall be controlled to protect surrounding properties by establishing that buffer and incorporating the existing vegetation. But also one of the requirements typically with the borrow pit is that there's a water truck on site if there is dust. The 31.02-acre parcel is going to be in two phases. So the first phase would be on the northerly side, on the north half of the pit. And if you look at the current site plan, there's actually a hedgerow that goes in the middle of that as well. It'll serve as a original natural buffer to the phase one operations as well. And phase two will not start until phase one is completed. The applicant will operate the borrow pit using mechanical means. And of course, we have this standard. It would be reviewed every 5 years. After the start of digging and planning and zoning would perform an inspection of the site, and then all the appropriate state agencies would review. And then after 20 years, the DNREC would be involved, and they would do an environmental impact study. And then the permit would expire after 40 years if he has been a good boy and maintained operations well. So we believe the granting of the conditional use is in accordance with the comprehensive plan, and it promotes the health, safety, morals, convenience, order of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And I will turn it over to Mr. Key and Mr. Palkowitz so they can continue with the engineering portion.
All right. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Frank Key with Solutions IPEM right here in Georgetown. I'm simply going to expound a little bit on some of the things that she mentioned to make clear what we're talking about. Of course, this use is allowed in AR1 if we meet certain criteria, and Jason Palkowitz will go over those criteria being a civil engineer. I'm a registered landscape architect in Delaware, Virginia, and Maryland, and I'm a land planner as well. The location was picked the way it was picked and shaped the way it was shaped for the reasons that were given, to tuck it back into the trees such that we could maximize the existing vegetation to minimize the view or sight lines of the excavation. There is one, if you notice in the actual site plan, there is several small cross sections that show landscaping, because we have proposed supplemental landscaping in addition to the existing wooded areas that buffer it. And in fact, when the hedgerow is broken through from phase one to phase two, there's a hedgerow here and a hedgerow here. When this is broken through, we'll continue to plant that section there to continue that buffer line. I think it was mentioned there are wetlands on the 104-acre site, at least as mapped by the state, but there are no in the conditional use area, and there is no proposed disturbance of them. We're only disturbing what's in the current agricultural field. In terms of surface water and groundwater, the way this excavation is proposed to work, on the low side of there's a small sort of hillock out there, and on the low side there would be a berm there so that all the surface water that we collect, rainwater or whatever, is directed back into the excavation. So there's no surface water leaving the site at all. That's the reason the Conservation District made the comments that it made. So there's no runoff from the site. It's self-contained. In addition to that, there won't be any pumping of groundwater. We're not moving any groundwater out. Groundwater in that area, as mapped by USGS, is about 2 to 4 feet below the surface. We expect that the excavation fills with water, hence the reason we showed it as blue on the aerial photograph. So what's left behind is really what's tantamount to a stormwater management pond in a golf course or a community, much like the community of Seagrass Plantation, where there was a borrow pit there that's been converted into a stormwater management pond. It's the same thing. In fact, as he backs out of the excavation, he'll leave behind a 10-foot subaqueous bench, much like is required in the storm pond, such that it's a safety bench. In terms of I think one thing that wasn't mentioned, that we talked about not storing certain things, but we didn't mention fuels and oils and things like that. None of that will be stored on site either. There's no proposal for bathrooms or anything else. This really is just digging a hole and excavating the dirt and hauling it off. We weren't, as mentioned, required to do a service level evaluation, and it was based on residential use. As you all are aware, at AR1 zone property, this could be two homes to the acre, as by right as you get in Sussex County, which means the trips for something like that would be about 2,000 trips per day. In this case, because it was evaluated that way and then looked at as borrow operation, they didn't require a TIS. Now, we've been to DLDOT three times. The first was with the service level evaluation. The second was during PLUS, where they also didn't require it but made certain suggestions about maintenance of roads and so forth. And then the third time was when we met with the subdivision agent, John Fiore, and others there. And again, they didn't require a TIS because the trigger point for improvements and so forth is 50 trips per day, and we don't reach that trigger point. As Ms. Gilmore mentioned, we're between 15 and 18 trips per day. And the way we got there, there being no guidance in the traffic engineer's trip generation manual, we went back in history and looked at Mr. Banks' dirt ticket book to see how many loads he did in the biggest year he ever had, which happened to be in 2005. He did 482 loads himself and 64 loads with other people who worked for him. So he did a total of 546 loads during the course of the entire year. So we hope there'll be an increase in business. This is a business after all. So we took that number and we doubled it, and then we added 500 more to it. So in effect, we tripled the business that he does today with one dump truck and others that he hires. That equals, when averaged over a six-day week, that equals five loads per day and four employees. That's nine vehicles per day, if you look at it that way, which is the only practical way to do it. I mean, if he triples his business, that's what you get. So nine vehicles per day in and out equals 18 trips. That's how we got where we are. We're not required to do any bypass lanes or turn lanes or anything like that. Again, the improvements would just be to resurface the pavement where the entrance to the site is put in. And effectively, I think I've covered the sort of the gaps in how we arrived at some of the conclusions that Ms. Gilmore presented. And if I may, I'd like to turn it over to Jason, and I'll, of course, answer any questions you may have of me. And Mr. Palkowitz will go over the requirements from the zoning ordinance as regards doing borrow pits in AR1.
Good evening. My name is Jason Palkowitz with Solutions IPM. As Frank mentioned, I'm going to talk about the special requirements for borrow pits that's listed in the zoning code. I'll go through them pretty briefly because they're in the book. They're on page 2. The first one references material being brought from off-site, and this application does not propose to bring any materials from off-site for processing. The second item refers to protection of surrounding properties. As Frank briefly talked about, the site is set back significantly from any other road or existing dwelling in the area, 1,700 feet from Irons Lane and about 500 feet from Old Mill Road. Furthermore, which Frank briefly touched on, was the stormwater management. The intent is to berm the site and direct water into the site. So in essence, when he first starts excavating, like a sediment trap of any other development or any other stormwater pond that you build. The next item ties into the second one, which is the location of the excavation. As previously mentioned, it's set far back from property lines.
And it's surrounded by existing trees, and existing hedgerows, and we'll have a 50-foot buffer around it.
that will be landscaped and bermed, and the berm will be landscaped. So it just won't be a berm. It'll be a berm with trees and bushes on it. As Frank mentioned at the end, there will be a safety bench. A portion of that 40-foot work area that's shown on the site plan will be regraded out and down below the water surface to provide a 10-foot safety bench. Number four, which is also very similar, talks about landscape, which, as previously mentioned, there will be landscaping around the entire excavation. Number five talks about being a minimum of 200 feet away from existing dwellings, and as shown, we are on site 665 plus or minus to the nearest on-site home, and over 900 feet to the nearest off-site home. And the last one talks about having to come back for site plan review and other housekeeping items, and obviously if the commission and then council see fit to approve this, we will come back. And that's the main items in the cove. And with that, that concludes it.
All right, then. Well, we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And we will start. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have a summary?
No, I was standing back up getting ready for you.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. All right, Mr. Smith, if you're ready.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Gilmore. I'm just going to kind of clarify some of the things that were in your exhibit book, not only, you know, for the record, for my own review. So currently Mr. Banks has an existing material hauling business that also deals with the demolition. What he's seeking is a permit here that would allow the sale of the material to other independent companies. Hauling companies. You estimate those trips to be somewhere between 15 and 18 trips per day. Possibly, would that be two trips per hour on the days of operation? Would that be a...
Yeah, as Mr. Key said, we took an average over time, and I mean, it could be more trips on any one particular time. Mm-hmm. And of course, seasonal may see a little bit more heightened use, but That's the average estimate. And like he said, that's higher than what the current use is right now that he has his clientele.
In the overview of the site conditions in the exhibit book, it says the site does not have any frontage on any road. When you're making that statement, the site, are you referring specifically just to the borough
pit? Just to the conditional use site.
Not the parcel itself. And the access will be by an easement across a neighboring separate property going out to Irons Lane.
Yeah, and Mr. Banks owns that land.
Okay. And that determination was made by?
DelDOT made that request.
Mm-hmm. Did they, from that area, a truck could go out and could turn to the left and go down and come out by Axe on 26? Or make a right and go up to the next road and then go from there. Is there anything that would preclude those trucks from any other exit off that site other than the designated road that you're going to create an easement and establish?
Well, he will have to actually build it. There's a bit of a part of this road, part of the access is on an existing farm road, or what we used to call a turn road, where I'm from. And then it cuts and goes directly across the field, so he'll have to actually construct a dirt access way there. So practically speaking, a dump truck with dirt in it wouldn't cut straight across the field that way.
Furthermore, that access easement is actually part of the conditional use area. It's actually part of the application. So that this road is... okay. Part of it.
So it's called out specifically in the description?
Yes.
Okay.
We had an original site plan that was originally submitted, so if you look at that, it was revised and resubmitted.
Okay. Is that the one in tab 6? Because that's why I asked that question. Under tab 6, there's a blue dashed line on the pullout that seems to indicate that it would come over and spill out onto...
That's what it is. Tab 6 was our original plus submittal application to see what we originally submitted. If you look at tab 4, that's the current layout.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to clear that up. No roadway improvements were mandated. No turn lanes. Additionally, on your overview, you mentioned your meeting with the Preliminary Land Use Service, which started back in November 2010. You indicate that they provided many useful comments. What would you say of their useful comments were the two most useful to you in planning this?
The two most useful?
Or maybe three. I mean, it says comments.
Well, for example, they remind, you know, just as a reminder, I think we're all aware of this, but, you know, you lose sight of it sometimes. There is a Human Remains Act. There are no cemeteries on the site, but if you encounter something like that, you have to stop and report it and do everything necessary to identify that. Of course, the Department of Transportation's comments were ultimately useful because access to the site is, you know, very primary. So we needed to know whether we were going to have a service level evaluation and what sort of requirements were going to be imposed on the project for improvements. And so that, of course, was useful. Frankly,
so useful that we've changed the plan.
Yeah, that's true. And other than that, we're fairly, you know, we knew what we were getting into, so the rest of the comments were rather mundane in nature for us. We know about how the groundwater works there. We know we're not pumping anything out, for example, and we know we're not draining water off the site. We're keeping it. So, you know, those concerns were, you know, we already were aware of. Okay. So that's, I guess, my best answer to that.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Key.
Yes.
Under tab 7, help me to understand this because I thought this would have been helpful if I'm interpreting it correctly in your... You've stated your, Mr. Palkowitz, qualifications. Page 7 of 8 of the plus comments, they suggest that you perform a phase 1 environmental assessment. Later on in one of the other tabs, you make a response to that. They further go on to say that by failing to do so, indicating failing to perform a phase 1 assessment, says it would prevent a person from being able to qualify for a potential affirmative defense under, and they cite a section. Does that mean if something comes up that is awry and there's a citation later, that if you're essentially guilty if you don't perform this phase one assessment, or?
No, actually that was more of a bit of advice to us. Commonly when a developer, for example, acquires a site or is about to, one of the things that, and I was, of course, as you know, a developer in the past, one of the things we would do is a phase one site assessment, which means we get the environmental guys to go out and have a look around and see if there are overturned, you know, oil cans or gas cans or spills or anything like that, mm-hmm. And advise on it. And then if you see something that looks odd, then you go on and do a phase two. And if you actually find something, you do a phase three and you remediate the land. So they were really advising us that you should do this if you want to prevent any action like that in the past, but the banks have owned this land for a long time and they farmed it for years and years. So it wasn't like a stranger acquiring a new site and not knowing what's there. They know what's there.
Understood. Thank you for clearing that up. And that would that be similar to their, as you put it, their advice about the consulting a hydrologist?
Yes. In effect, it is, because, again, Mr. Banks actually had an excavation contractor come out and dig a small test pit to see what sort of soils were there and if it agreed with the soils information that's on record, and it did, and it's suitable for the use. The hydrogeologist would also talk about movement of groundwater, you know, underground movement of surface water, but this is a hole that's going to be self-contained, and the groundwater there is going to fill the hole to the extent that the normal elevation of groundwater below ground is breached. In other words, it'll seek its own level. So we're not moving water. So there's really no need for a hydrogeologist. It's the same as any other small lake or pond that you would build anywhere.
All right. Thank you. also mentions the Quillam Pit. Now, is the Quillam Pit an active pit in the area?
I don't believe so. No, right?
Right.
No, sir.
It's not active. And you mentioned there were two other abandoned State of Delaware pits.
Yeah, that's actually on the right-hand side of the road going back to Ellis Point. Those excavations through there were the Del Dot pits years back. I think there is another one that is currently active that I'm not positive about this, but maybe belongs to Mr. Hickman. I think it's about, I think it's almost done, though.
All right. What is a performance quarantine?
Where are you in the documents?
I'm under a statement of compliance where you're indicating, I guess it's on page 3. Before I ask that question, I'm reading, it's a statement of compliance with conditional uses. And something that you brought up several times, you indicated very specifically that there would be no materials transported to the site for processing. What, for the education of the commission and the public, what is the downside of having material brought to the site? Because you've been very specific, saying you're doing an excavation, taking it off, you're not bringing materials.
Well, it's
the site.
If you were, I'm going to give you my opinion, and I'll have Jason answer that probably better than me. But if you were going to bring material on, like and crush it or something like that, and turn it into other material or process it in some fashion, like a sand and gravel processing operation. That's not what this is. That's
okay.
What I meant, yes.
I can answer that question. That's quoted from the code, and it's a typo. It's performance guarantees, not performance quarantines.
Oh, okay.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's a typo when somebody transposed it from the code.
Thank you. Well, now we know.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
You mentioned about the recoveries and recoveries of buffers, side slope, everything. Let me ask you, who will actually be doing the excavation work?
Employees of Mr. Banks.
Employees of Mr. Banks. And they would be...
Employees are subcontractors, I would say.
They would be held, hopefully, to a... standard, they would know what they were doing as they were backing out. They would build in these benches that you're talking about and ensuring that the side slopes and everything is how it is supposed to be done. You mentioned in your conditions about, you know, the check back. Am I to understand that the possible life of this pit could be 40 years? It could be up to 40 years, but not to exceed 40 years.
Right. And, of course, it's hard to say because you don't know what quality of dirt you run into as you move through it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't know what the demand for it is exactly. We know there's a demand, but we don't know, you know, it ebbs and flows with, you know, with the economy to some extent.
To the best of your knowledge or your guess, what do you think the finished depth of this will be? Do you have
not more than 25 feet, more than likely, because he's using excavators and... If they can reach 25 feet, I would be surprised. Maybe a long stick excavator could.
Uh-huh. And the surface area of the pit, roughly 17 acres.
Yes.
Roughly a depth of 25 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Gone over the trucks or the trips. Were the trucks going to be typical tandem dump trucks, or will there be smaller vehicles, larger vehicles?
I would say there's the possibility for all. If someone was there and they wanted to buy, you know, a smaller load of dirt, I suppose it could be sold. But Mr. Banks, I think, currently uses tandems in one smaller truck.
Was there any contact with any of the neighbors to advise, you know, what may or may not be going on this site? Prior to the posting and the advertising, to get a feel for what the neighbors may think, or to try to operate as a good neighbor, address those concerns. I know you mentioned you've got
the letters
40
of support
some odd
document
letters,
that, yes.
So you went
mm-hmm.
through
They're
that
immediately adjacent to the entrance. Both of those have voted in support of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A question for Mr. Lank. What we're seeing up here on the exhibit by the applicant, correct me if I'm wrong, directly across the street, is that an RPC in that wooded area? Was that for Natale Companies? Is that
the RPC for Natale is to the east.
That's the Bethany Forest. But right straight down, yeah, right there. Do we have an RPC there? No, we don't.
I think it's GR.
Here. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That's the banks, some of the banks property there.
All right.
The Natale piece is a big forest.
Right. Okay. Mr. Chairman, that's what I have for present time. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr.
Thank
Ross?
You.
Yes, Mr. Key or Mr. Banks, either one, has some kind of a soil evaluation been done for the suitability of the borough? I mean, do you know the value?
Yes. In fact, I don't know about the value, but I do know that the material is suitable. There were backhoe test pits done to check it, and it was done with someone in the borrow pit business, as well as looking at the soils maps that are of record.
Yeah, we know topsoil is easy to get rid of, but the others sometimes is not. It depends on what's there. I'm trying to understand the property lines to make sure I'm clear. The land on the east of Irons Lane, Irons Road there, that's all owned by Mr. Banks?
Yes, Mr. Banks owns this property here. He owns the 104 acres on which the conditional use is placed. He owns the property right back here. He owns the property in the track and adjacent to it, and he owns the property here.
And to the south.
The entire swath that this is located in, with the exception of this right here, which belongs to Raymond L. Banks III, right along this line here.
So that's the nearest property not owned by Mr. Banks himself?
And this piece right here. And in these cases, the excavation itself has been maintained at least 100 feet from those property lines, where that's the nearest it ever gets.
Well, according to the code, the nearest the borrow pit shall be at least 200 feet from any dwelling on property of other ownership. And now, while there's not currently a dwelling sitting there, I mean, we wouldn't want a situation where we prevented someone from putting a dwelling on their property if they so chose, right?
Yes, I understand.
So even though in those instances where you've stayed 100 feet, you said 100 feet?
Yes.
Away. If someone decided to put a home there, then that would not be the code, correct?
Yes, they would be 110 feet, because I believe unless it's rezoned, there's a 10-foot rear yard circumstance.
And if a subdivision goes in, there's a required subdivision buffer that would be required as well.
Well, what if it's
Right.
That's where he said 10. I just wanted to clarify that.
That is 20. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
On those isolated areas where it is within, is there a possibility of moving that off 200 feet from the property line rather than?
Yes, that would be easily done.
And then you can't impact a neighbor's ability to build or whatever.
Yes, that it would be easy to do, and we're happy to do it.
Okay. And that's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
I just have one question. Would you be opposed to putting a turn shoulder lane in on Irons Lane so that the trucks do get off the road?
I don't know that we would be opposed to it. I don't know what DelDOT's reaction to it would be.
I don't know that we can direct.
Well, we can't. Yeah, we can't require it.
Go ahead.
And they can't put it in unless DelDOT lets them do it. It's not, you know, it's
the ball.
I understand. I understand.
And
it's a good question.
Well, Irons Lane, it's a busy road.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of the two phases, you don't have a timeline on that. It's just whenever.
I wish we could nail it down, but we can't.
But it'll definitely start in the back.
Yes.
Of the thing and work its way.
The first phase would be back here. And this hedgerow right here, as I call them, it goes all the way across. the excavation, so the first phase is back behind that as well as behind all of this.
Okay.
So, yeah, they would work through there first, installing the landscaping on the berm as they came out. And as the hedgerow was broken, then it would continue on through the field there.
Okay.
So he's going to continue to farm the fields that occupy the area where the pond will be until such time as he's excavated it and can't.
No further questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Lang.
I'll just clarify one question. The you said all the removal or excavation will be handled by mechanical means, thereby you're not doing any dredging.
That's correct. We don't anticipate that at all.
That's all.
Counselor?
Yeah. The last one of these we had, which was conditional use 1829, it was a Melvin Joseph borrow pit. They came in and said that they had to comply with the Mine Safety and Health Administration Act, and I guess, you know, and the requirements of that. And they had some additional conditions that were imposed by the county. My first question is, did you look into whether, you know, it's considered a mining operation? Okay. I'll read you what the conditions are so that you know what was imposed in 1829. It was markers and signs shall be placed at appropriate locations to designate pit areas as required by the Mine Safety and Health Administration. That was one of them. The second one was borrow pit operations shall be consistent with the Mine Safety and Health Administration requirements. And those directives and regulations would supersede the plans and specifications that were submitted. So in other words, any federal requirements would direct how you could do it. And then there was a third one that was added. Per MSHA requirements, the borrow pit shall be surrounded by a berm with a minimum height equal to one-half the height of the tallest tire used in the mining operations, with current minimum height being 3 feet. I pose those because one of the things that the commission and the county tried to do is come up with consistent conditions for all borrow pits. And as I said, that was the last one we had, and those three were imposed. So I wanted to make you aware of them, and there might be something you want to look into before.
And those are the conditions we followed. We followed previous ones. We just didn't have those.
Yeah, it's. I don't have the date of it, but it was 1829. I want to say it was in the past couple years anyway.
Yeah, that's the one out by Fisher Mobile Home Park.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, you might want to take a look at that ordinance.
Near Baxter Farm.
That's all that I had. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you will, take a seat nearby. I believe there might be a few folks here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1879, Russell V. Banks? Yes, sir.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Bob Thornton. I am a 18-year resident of the town of Ocean View and a local builder. I'm building a project adjacent to Bear Trap Dunes Golf Course. And over the last 3 or 4 years, I've gotten quite a bit of recognition nationally for green, sustainable, energy-efficient, resource-efficient building. We've currently scored our development nationwide 4-star and will probably be another first in the state of Delaware. My concerns are always impact on a local environment, but also impacts on the local economy. Right now, we have about 75% of my colleagues in this industry are either in Chapter 11 or going out of business. Part of Sussex County's recovery, economics-wise, is the building industry. New construction is second only to tourism, the way we look at it in Sussex County. And any integral part of a fragile economy, as in acquiring aggregates or acquiring fill dirt or soils for a site at a reasonable price, are paramount at this point. Now, looking at Mr. Banks' location and the type of soils that he's got there, we have Evesboro, Woodstown, and Falsington's. I believe he has two of those three. We've talked to Denrec about it. It's absolutely the best match, and from a sustainable point of view, at $4 a gallon for fuel, to be hauling fill dirt and materials from other economic corridors where our local community won't benefit from those funds and those extra jobs that are created by myself and whatever other colleagues remain successful in building in these tough economic times, I think should be a consideration here. And if it's done in an environmentally sound fashion, to me it's a tremendous waste of resources to leave really good fill dirt just laying there when applied somewhere else helps drive the economic engine here. It can help more units be absorbed and thus help our recovery. So I thank you for listening, and I appreciate your time.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Yes.
Anyone else like to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
My name is Ted Stevens. I live at 103 Wood Duck Court. As some of you well know, probably 3 to 5 years ago, Lawrence, I was up here fighting against someone else that had a nearby bar pit. The reason I was fighting that was because they had no permits, never came for permission, were pumping off water into the local ditches and running down into the development that I live in. The development I live in is only a half a mile from the proposed bar pit. I've talked to Russell about it. He's taken me out there. He showed it to me. I don't see a huge impact. He's already hauling the same amount of dirt from another nearby pit that he's using the same road. So I don't see the traffic getting much different. Knowing Russell and how he maintains everything, I think everything should be fine.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1879? Or 97, excuse me.
Yeah, is there anyone here who is a spokesperson?
Is there a spokesman? Or would you, okay, we have a spokesman here. Is there anyone that is speaking for a group, or is there?
I'm speaking for the 259 or 264.
Well, come on up.
That's
come on up. Spokespeople go first, and then we'll be happy to listen to anybody else who wants to talk.
Okay, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not a public speaker, but I am very, very concerned.
Well, you have to tell us your name, though.
Okay, I'm Susan Timmons. I live at 34854 Wingate Court. My house faces Irons Lane. I invite any of you to come sit on my front porch and watch the traffic in front of my house. I stand before you representing those that live on Irons Lane, as well as the developments which branch off of Irons Lane. The petition which was presented is signed by, and I guess it's 264 of these people, in opposition to the ordinance to grant this conditional use of Russell Banks. There are many reasons we're asking that this conditional use be denied. Traffic safety. Irons Lane pavement is 20 feet wide with no shoulders. Several school bus routes and a dark bus route use Irons Lane. School bus, passenger, and auto safety. Intersections at Route 26 and with Holt's Landing Road have been the location of many accidents. Unacceptable road damage and safety impacts. The weight and width of the dump trucks is unsuitable for such a narrow road. Traffic safety again. Entrance and exit of the proposed pit would be on Irons Lane. Noise level would be offensive to neighbors. Pollution to air and inland bays could be a problem. Contamination of groundwater is a major concern. The conditions for the existing grandfathered 30-plus-year-old borrow pit nearby cannot be the same for a new one. Holt's Landing Road is already used as a bypass for Route 26 by locals and vacationers. Widening of Route 26 is going to affect Irons Lane. Wildlife in nearby Holt's Landing State Park could be negatively affected. Original entrance for the pit was denied by DLDOT. An additional borrow pit is not compatible with a built-up residential area. Irons Lane is already an unsafe road for dump trucks or any large vehicle. The width of the blacktop road is just 20 feet with no shoulders. Bicyclists, walkers, joggers are already at risk on these roads. The addition of numerous commercial dump trucks traversing these roads will make an already hazardous situation truly dangerous. The intersection of Route 26 and Vines Creek Road in Irons Lane is always busy and has been the location of several accidents in the last few years. In addition, the entrance and exit for the thrift shop are on either side of this intersection. There are a minimum of 5 school bus routes on Irons Lane, both in the a.m. and the p.m. of each school day, as well as a kindergarten route at the noon hour. Children wait on the sides of Iron Lane for these buses, and some have to walk distances to their houses. Additional dump trucks would put them in harm's way. In addition, there's at least one daycare provider on Irons Lane. The intersection of Holt's Landing Road and Irons Lane has had 8 accidents in the last few years and necessitated the state putting in a 4-way stop. This is a very busy and unsafe intersection. These intersections are not designed to handle a large number of commercial dump trucks. The very nature of dump trucks, with their bulk, width, and their 60 to 80,000 pound weight, would pose a real danger to 4,000 pound cars on the road. An accident involving a car and a dump truck would be highly more likely and lethal with the increased traffic. During the spring and fall, Irons Lane is traversed by many tractors with large plows or discs behind. Some of those are Mr. Banks's. They often take up much of the 20-foot road. Many cars have to pull over to let this equipment by. They have even pulled over into my front yard. Imagine one of these meeting a large dump truck. Where would a large dump truck pull over? We alone have had 4 accidents of vehicles coming into my yard and hitting trees. Knowingly adding a fleet of commercial dump trucks to the current mix of cars, tractors, school children, elderly drivers, beachgoers would be highly imprudent. Irons Lane is almost exclusively residential, and the addition of a dirt borrow pit would be detrimental to property interest and value. Many of the homeowners enter and exit their property on Irons Lane. A fully loaded dump truck may have difficulty stopping abruptly. I found this to be true myself when I stopped at the intersection of Route 26 and Irons Lane, and a dump truck had to swerve into Mr. Hudson's property to avoid hitting my car in the back. In addition, traffic on these roads continues to increase due to ongoing development of new subdivisions, dozens of new residences, and under construction, and many more being planned. With the widening of the Route 26 for at least the next 3 years, many will be using Irons Lane and Holt's Landing Road for detours. Irons Lane's already in poor shape. There's a culvert under the road by my house that must be broken somewhere under the road because the dirt keeps eroding under the road. I contacted DelDOT. They came and put a couple shovelfuls of dirt in it. Part of the blacktop is even broken. At this point, the road is only 19 and a half feet wide. If a dump truck pulled over on that spot, a major accident could occur. There's also a very deep ditch at that location. This is just one culvert with problems. How many more are on Irons Lane? There is an existing operational borrow pit within 4/10 of a mile from the proposed pit. This existing pit was placed into service over 30 years ago before the area was built up with new subdivisions, tens of dozens of new residences, a golf course, country club, all of which enter Irons Lane. The road network remains the same width with no shoulders. The reasons for the original borrow pit of 30 plus years were valid then, but certainly not now for an additional pit. Circumstances of the area in question have drastically changed the need and validity for an additional borrow pit. In short, another borrow pit with such close proximity to an existing one on Irons Lane is not compatible or feasible with the existing road network. It is our understanding that Mr. Banks requested that the entrance and exit from the dirt borrow pit be on Old Mill Road. This was denied by DelDOT. He was told he would have to pave Old Mill Road from the entrance and exit of the borrow pit to the entrance to Irons Lane. He then decided to put the entrance on Irons Lane. It is far more dangerous for such an entrance and exit, and also much more heavily traveled. How can it even be considered? It can't be safe for large dump trucks to safely enter onto such a narrow road. The average width of a dump truck is 96 inches, with some as wide as 108 inches. Just imagine 2 8- or 9-foot dump trucks meeting on a 10-foot travel lane. Also, children will be waiting across from the entrance to this burrow pit, waiting for school buses. Additionally, Holt's Landing State Park is located just to the north of the proposed dirt burrow pit. The roads that serve the park are the same roads that would serve the dirt burrow pit. Holt's Landing State Park is noted for its peaceful setting, the wildlife living there, deer, fox, eagles, and wild turkey, for example, and the only public crabbing pier on the Delaware Inland Bays. A fleet of dump trucks is not compatible with this setting and would diminish the experience for park visitors. The water pollution impact of a dirt burrow pit so close to the Indian River Bay is unknown and should be better understood before considering this proposal. The ditches that border the property proposed for this pit empty into Blackwater Creek, which is classified as navigable water. The silt and runoff from the pit alone could be a real hazard to the wildlife and vegetation in and around the creek. This creek runs directly into the Indian River. Perhaps fish kills could even occur. There are significant health concerns with the effects of a dirt burrow pit. What will be the effects on the groundwater? Many of us have wells and do not have the opportunity to have central water. And I did have put a question here about the fuel, but I understand he says he's not going to put it on that property. Also, the dust created can be a health risk. The noise level alone will be a problem in a residential area. Some of the noise that could be heard, of course, would be buckets banging, bulldozers, loader engines, trucks, and beeper horns. There is a fatal mistake in the application process. We kept looking for signs. We could not find a visible sign anywhere until a complaint was filed on Friday, May 20th. Now there's a sign, but it's on Old Mill Road, where the original entrance and exit were proposed. Shouldn't the sign have been on Irons Lane, where the major impact of the burrow pit will be? This alone should at least delay or probably defeat the application. Here are some additional questions. Has a traffic study been done to see if the roads involved can withstand the weight and constant traffic of these 60 to 80,000 pound fully loaded dump trucks? One huge dump truck is equivalent on road damage to how many cars? 30, 50, 100? Do we know? Has a study been done to evaluate the traffic and load compacts on impacts on the roads involved? It is a growing residential area, and traffic from that alone is heavy and will only get worse. Has anyone done a study to find out the environmental impact of this pit on a residential area or the nearby inland bays? Has research been done to find out the effects of digging such a deep hole? How could it affect my groundwater? Have any of you sat near a dirt burrow pit and listened to the noise level? Would you want this near your residences? How will the safety concerns of vehicles, cars, trucks, tractors, bicycles, pedestrians, and children be addressed? Is the road structurally sound to handle the volume and weight of the increased dumped-up traffic? What will be the designated travel route of these trucks? We oppose the application. We have no idea what safety precautions will be taken for the commercial dump trucks entering and exiting Irons Lane. What will be the impact of this on all the intersections? What will the hours of the operation be? Now, I heard them say what his hours of operation would be. His dump trucks have been by my house 7:30 p.m. this week. I've seen them go by if I've been sitting on that porch that you're invited to visit. Bay Colony was required to have a 60-foot
right. Are you going to read to us?
I've just got two more paragraphs.
Okay. All right.
Bay Colony was required to have a 60-foot right-of-way for entrance to their development, and Cripple Creek had to have 30-foot wide paved roads. How can DelDOT allow Irons Lane to be just 20-foot wide pavement with an entrance and exit to this pit? With the work being done on the widening of 26 and the closure of sections of the road at a time, won't the additional dump truck cause more safety concerns? One business close to Irons Lane, Route 26 6 intersection was told they'd be closed for a 3-month period because they're going to tear up pavement part at a time on 26. This in itself is going to be a major problem. Can traffic problems be added to this potential nightmare for locals and vacationers? Without answers to the above questions, how can you possibly favor this application? We, the signers of the petition, ask that you deny this request. Let's look at Mr. Banks's record. Look into it, if you will, please. See if he's abided by the previous issues he's had with planning and zoning. Did he clean up the areas he was told to clean up, or did he clean them up and then start dumping again? Is he now using residential property for commercial use? There's a place right by his house, right within two-tenths of a mile of my house now, that has piles of mulch. We hear grinding. We see stones piled up. We see dirt piled up. Who is to say that he's going to follow the rules and regulations of having a dirt borrow pit? Can you consider anything without DENREC and the county assuring you that the rules are followed by Mr. Banks? Please consider these questions and say, no, Mr. Banks, you're denied this request. I thank you very much.
Can I have a copy of what you read?
Yes, you can.
Because that's a little faster than you can write.
I'm having trouble keeping up. Thank you.
All right, we thank you, ma'am. Okay, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
But I would like to thank this young lady.
Before you start, you got to come up here and introduce yourself. Don't start. Stop talking. No. Now talk, but
it's
give your name first.
It's hard for me to stop talking.
I'm realizing
well,
that, but
this,
go ahead.
I know it's late,
your
and
name.
She has said everything.
Can I give you your name?
Oh, my name, Ruth Vella.
Ma'am.
What did I do wrong?
Introduce yourself.
My name is Ruth Vella, and my house is 31123 West Ocean Drive.
Now, proceed.
Thank you, and sorry, Mr. Chairman.
That's all right.
This, much of what she said, I will not repeat in the interest of time. I did want to say that. Those same exact issues are what our petition, and I must say, Mrs. Gilmore, there is a full understanding.
Ma'am, we're not going to have discussions between
Okay, there is a full understanding of this. No confusion at all.
Ma'am, you have to direct your comments.
Okay, they are
this way.
Okay, there is no confusion from the people in my community who strongly oppose this. Many of the issues are the same. I was concerned in hearing that it was felt there was no need for protection, no need for lights because it's so far away from residential areas. We, as the earlier speaker said, have little children that walk to their school buses, that ride their bikes that way, and hearing there were no lights to be there was another major concern. I think the fact that the property is residential, agricultural, and these other borough pits are pre-existing non-conforming use, that there is no reason to continue to use the use of residential for commercial or industrial purposes or something like a borough pit. Would that I don't suppose that complies with the zoning of residential. And the other thing is that I have been a counselor in real estate for 48 years. I've seen a great deal of value. The property in our area, the value has dropped drastically. We are all trying hard to continue to market properties and use properties to their best use. This would certainly decrease the value in an already greatly depressed market. It would very adversely affect all of us.
Ma'am, before you go further, after making that statement, explain to me what you mean by a counselor of real estate.
Well, I owned a real estate school. I teach realtors. I work with the Delaware Real Estate Commission in education.
Are you a licensed realtor?
Yes, I am. Okay. But I mean, I've seen many markets in my 48 years, and this is a really tough market for us. And it's not just the realtors, it's the property owners themselves that have lost their jobs, that are trying to sell their property, that are really affected by any other decrease in value. It is a real problem. I think it's dangerous. And the people in my community also are very concerned. I would also like to say that most of us did not even know about it till very recently. Okay, sorry, I did it the wrong way, but...
All right, you're fine. We got you. We got you on the right course.
Okay.
Anything else?
No, but some other people may have something
else. I suspect
they will. We got a question or two for you.
You're a resident, and speaking on behalf of the White's Neck Village.
Of what?
White's Neck Village.
No, I'm West Ocean Farms.
Okay, there's more to one. Okay, West Ocean Farm, you gave us one for White's Neck Village. Okay.
Yes, well, White's Neck Village also signed petitions as well.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Okay, all the way, well, the you and then you, okay? Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Richard Hudson. My wife and I live right on the corner of Iron Lane and 26.
Okay.
Ms. Susan covered a lot of things, so I won't repeat that, but I do have one thing to tell you all about. DelDOT has been negotiating with us to make a right turn lane so that people can get off of Iron Lane onto Route 26.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just looked at the new drawings. They've revised on just about every week. There is no stoplight to be put on Route 26 so people can come out Iron Lane and make a left-hand turn. In front of our store, sometimes we see 5 to 8, sometimes 10 vehicles backed up for 5 minutes trying to make a left-hand turn on the Route 26. It's a real dangerous situation. Axe Store has two entrances right across from Iron Lane. And when you have people backing out, trucks on it, go out there. We've called 911 I don't know how many times because of accidents. In fact, a few years back, they knew who we were. They said, "Are you Hudson General Store?" "Yep, it's right here again." You know, how bad is it? So that's my concern. Safety first. Just past our store, 1,000 feet down, there's a daycare center, a home daycare center. There's kids getting on and off the bus all the time. The more trucks you get there, the worse it's going to be. Thank you.
All right, so we thank you. Okay.
Thanks, sir.
Hello. I'm Ray Morgan. I live at 30391 Irons Lane. I'm not going to address anything that they've already addressed. My biggest issue is I have children that live right here. There's children all over this area. My children play through these woods constantly. And I was raised myself right here. Growing up, we went all through these woods constantly. We have children. I was in here constantly. If my kids, my grandchildren would happen to go in there and drown, it would very much upset me. I can't stop them, and a gate from a road will not stop children. So other than the roads and things like that, that's my biggest concern is children. Because if there's water, you can't stop them. They'll be in it wanting to play at 25 feet. You'll never find them. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Okay, over here and then over here.
Good evening. My name is Dawn Cuso. I live at 31194 West Ocean Farms. That's the small area over here. We weren't aware of what was going on. Nobody told us over here at White's Neck.
Mm-hmm.
These roads right here, if you come out on Old Mill Road, there's a fence and bush. And it's very hard to come out to go down Iron Lane. We've almost been hit there a couple times. These roads are very, very small. There's no sidewalks, there's no lighting, it's dark, potholes. There's barely enough for two cars to go by, let alone two trucks to go by. I'm just really concerned with not just the children, but our safety. And like I said, if you came out there, you would see how dark it is. I've gotten lost. I've been living here for 3 years. But it's very dark, it's very narrow, there's no lights, no sidewalk. And potholes on each side of the road. But it's very dangerous going in Irons Lane down Old Mill Road to go to that thing. We have personally been almost hit because you have to come out a little bit to look at the cars coming back that way. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, over here in the blue shirt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, come on. Hurry up. Thing. Hurry up while he's walking up here.
Quick. One more thing. They're bringing in city water and sewer within the next year. They've been coming out to measure. Mm-hmm. So that means there's going to be more trucks, mm-hmm. more activity coming on this road in the White Neck and in our area, West Ocean Farms.
Okay.
So
thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, sir.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. My name is Raymond Banks. I live 18098 Old Furnace Road. Excuse me, Georgetown. My concerns are, my daughter showed you where she lives. I own this part here. I was never notified of all this trash.
Sorry, of all this what?
Don't go in tall.
Oh.
I inherited.
Excuse me. You were never notified?
No,
sir. How did you find out?
Mary or Susan called me, let me know.
So she notified you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, then. You were notified. Go ahead.
But I thought I was supposed to be notified by mail.
That is not a requirement. The requirement is you advertise in the newspaper and post it on the site, and those things were done. It is a matter of policy. We do try to notify adjacent property owners. It could very well be that it came to your home, you mistook it for a piece of junk mail. Could have happened, you know. But the fact is, you're here, you heard about it. Go ahead, you have the floor.
Thank you. I inherited 106 acres. And since the change of the will, the property consisted agreement, I'd be forced to give it up. And I was signed it over to Banks Family Farms. And the agreement was they were running a small grains operation and a horse farm, mm-hmm. not a dirt hole. Also, if you start a dirt hole, I don't know if many of you have been around dirt holes. They look like a beehive, trucks coming and going all the time. And another thing is, maybe to this gentleman, I think he's the counselor, how can Russell have a deed to cross the property when I've yet to get the deed and stuff settled to mine?
That's a question for you and I guess Russell. That's not one that concerns
Sussex County. The deed has never been transferred over.
Well,
that's my one of my things.
Sounds like a lawyer's full employment act to me.
Whatever. And I am very much opposed to this.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
I really want to.
Come on up and give us your name.
I learned. My name is George Maringolo. I live at 34885 Wingate Court. Which is about, I would say, about a half a mile from the property or less.
Okay.
Thanks. I just came up here for one thing. Mr. Smith asked a question about neighbors. Mm-hmm. Did you ask any of the neighbors? It would be a neighborly thing to do. I've never met Mr. Banks before. I wouldn't have known him tonight if I bumped into him. I wouldn't have known him. I've only lived here, maybe 4.5 years. But the one thing I can tell you about is he's not a very good neighbor. He's out there in the morning shooting 365 days a year, it seems like. He must have a gun range or something over there. But, I mean, I'm old enough to know what Vietnam was like, and I'm telling you, there are some Saturdays it sounds like Vietnam. He's never said anything to ask any of the neighbors if that's good. He owns a piece of property on the corner of Old Mill and Irons Lane. All I know about him is that there's an old rusting truck sitting there. It's been sitting there forever. As long as I've lived there, and he now has moved some other rusting equipment up onto the other side. So my thought that he's going to run that place correctly, he hasn't shown that to me. So I don't know anything about his plans. I don't know anything about the building, the site plan work or anything. But I know how he lives, and I know that he's out there, and he doesn't care about his neighbors. So why would that change now? Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Okay, who's next? Oh, okay. All right.
Good evening. My name is Elaine McKenna. My address is 35658 Manadu Lane, Dagsboro, Delaware, 19939.
Excellent. Very good. Go ahead.
I'll show you where I live.
Okay.
I live right here in this house.
Okay.
The closest one to the road.
Okay.
And as a neighbor, no, I was not asked, I was not notified. I happened to see the yellow sign located here, and I have an idea. They had that yellow sign parallel to the 349, mm-hmm. and when you go past, there's just like, you don't really see it, because it's right up next to
it. Now, you just told me you saw it. You're telling me you didn't see it. See it?
No, I'm sorry.
How did you get here tonight?
I saw it.
Okay, well, that's what it was there for. It wasn't there for me. It was there for you.
But it wasn't there for
I already knew about it.
True, but this is just an idea. If it were placed perpendicular to the road, mm-hmm. that as people go by, they would see it. People go by, they're not really paying attention. So some of the people who may not have seen the sign, it's because, you know, you go by, you're not paying attention. It's just an idea.
Point well taken.
Okay. I'm against the borough pit. I live there. I have a life estate to this house uh-huh. and to this pasture.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have racehorses, broodmares, and foal. Mm-hmm. This is just a line of trees that are falling down. In the wintertime, you'll be able to see through it for the people who, like this development over here, could see through. These people who live here, existing.
Hedgerow.
Thank you. Hedgerow that's here is in the wintertime and will not. You can see through it. It's not going to hide anything. I don't think it's safe. I don't think we need another borough pit in the area. Russell is my brother. It's nothing against him. It's just that I don't want a borough pit there. I don't think it's conducive for the neighborhood, for the residential development, all the communities that have been approved for that area, for White's Neck and whatnot. And I really don't think we need another one there. And they can get dirt someplace else where there already is dirt, whatever. Okay? Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. Who's next? Okay. Last call. Anybody else in opposition?
Mr. Chairman, if before you close the public hearing, I got a comment I'd like to make.
Yeah, I'm going to ask our counselor to make his comment at this point, and then I guess we can take a show of hands. We normally count the folks that are here that stick it out to the end. Anyway, go ahead, counselor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is advice as much for the commission, but it's for the benefit of the public. In terms of what the commission can consider as valid reasons, frankly, for or against an application. We heard a lot of testimony about property values, traffic. These are just some of the things I wrote down. Groundwater, effect on roadways, road safety, intersection designs. The courts in Delaware have made it clear and more clear that it's difficult to take into account lay opinion, somebody's opinion that traffic's going to be adversely affected, or property values are going to be adversely affected, or groundwater is going to be adversely affected. There needs to be some basis, some what we call empirical evidence basis, to really consider those types of criteria, whether it's on behalf of an applicant or on behalf of opposition. It used to be that you could take into account things that people would come up to say at the podium, but the courts have really made it pretty clear that you can't rely on lay opinion one way or the other. So, again, that's advice to the commission, but I want people to understand, we've got to consider hard and fast evidence when we make a decision here at the county, either for or against an application. And, there's strict statutory guidelines we've got to follow, and court-implemented rules that we got to follow as well. And they're getting really tight on the consideration of conditional uses like this. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. And I will, just to add to that, I've been up here for about 17 years now, and I can tell you I have lived through a lot of this business that comes down from these court cases and so on. But that being said, I want everyone to know that we do hear your comments, and while the empirical evidence, so to speak, may not be prevalent as the law might require, it does cause us to look for it. We hear your concerns.
The other thing I want to make sure everyone understands is there are good people on both sides of these issues, whether it's this application or any other. That's what makes our job difficult. We have an ordinance that we have to abide by and that we have to test the applicant's presentation against. And as our counselor has pointed out, the courts have made that painfully obvious to us and made us painfully aware that is our job. So I appreciate everyone's patience this evening. You've been sitting here for over 3 hours. The next council meeting is June 14th. What happens is when this body makes a recommendation to county council, there will be another public hearing on June 14th. Thank you, my right-hand man, Vice Chairman Smith here, is on the ball. And I would encourage you to come out, make yourselves known at that meeting, because that's where the final decision is made, will be made by county council. They will take into account our recommendation and the proceedings that have happened here this evening. But it's really a two-step process, so you're halfway there. And then on the June 14th, in front of council, will be the other half. Before we close the hearing, I want to thank everybody for being here. Now, when I say we're closed the public hearing, you're all going to want to get up and start talking. Believe it or not, we've got about 6 more items on our agenda this evening. So what I would like you to do what? Count. Oh, we got to count hands. I'm sorry. Okay, 4 people that are in favor. 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, we know you are, sir.
All right.
I got 5, 6.
Six.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Opposed. Just one hand. That's it. Okay. And keep him up because he's a lawyer, not a mathematician. Okay.
18.
18. Okay. So when we close the public hearing, I certainly will encourage you to get up. You're certainly welcome to stay. But whatever you do, please do it quietly because we've got a little more business to transact. Thank you so much for being here. We'll close the public hearing. We will invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Great. Gentlemen, that completes our public hearings for the night. Moving on to other business, our first item of other business is Tidewater.
Can we take...
Five. Take 5. All right. Take 5.
Yeah, I'll read this.
Okay.
On the dentist.
You can't switch the thing away. Switch them off.
All right. That's fine. That's good.
Sorry about that.
We're recessed for 5 minutes. Oh, my goodness. Mrs. Gilmore. Mrs. Gilmore. Since you brought it up earlier, I have to ask you, where did you grow up?
Yeah.
On the farm.
Rising Sun, Maryland.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Very
all right.
Yeah,
wonderful.
So I grew up in Caroline. The fun in dysfunction.
Yeah, I grew up in Caroline County, Maryland. Okay. So you're a little further north than we were. But
our family farm connected with every other family farm in the county. So I could like travel from aunts and uncles. The whole county.
What's the family name?
Ayers.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Yep. Something you didn't know about.
That's right. That's right. Learn something every day.
See you. See you.
I see.
I wanted to say that because
they ain't gone.
Yeah, I really appreciate you doing that because, you know, when somebody gets up and reads a statement, you can tell that she really believes that this is the most eloquent, well-constructed argument there ever could be.
And it was well stated.
It was well stated, it was well written, but it was totally unsupported.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the problem. It's all just her opinion.
Yeah, right.
You know?
I mean, there was some... actually,
here and there.
Talk about the car.
Yeah.
You know, the one woman was...
Yeah.
Gets in there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, to say that.
I've had she said, I'm a realtor, and here's my comps.
Yeah.
And here's the
right.
data.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and
bring us some.
Here, and, you know,
yeah.
I've got some data.
Bring
here's
us some.
Some published information.
Right, right.
And then
that's
she's
right.
She's done her research.
It's
her
got about ready.
Even if you're not, if you're labeled, you can still do research and say, here's published data.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, right. Because the first, you know.
Yeah, that's the first thing I'll do with the bitch.
Where'd he go? He said, you ready?
And
he
left. I'm always skeptical. Okay, so we're going to dig a hole for a few years.
Right.
And then we're going to say, okay, now let's develop up to the pond we just made. Right?
Yeah, right.
Property. I would do you know what I mean? You diminish that.
Wasn't as bad as I thought, actually.
No.
I got 200 feet away from this dirt pit. Do I really want a dirt pit?
I can't.
Yeah, right.
Because
All right,
let's rock and roll.
Let's rock and roll.
What do you think?
Let's rock and roll.
Yeah, let's roll.
Okay, we're good.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Call the meeting to order. Gentlemen, our first item of other business is Tidewater Environmental Services conditional use number 1792 Wannondale final site plan on Route 24.
Gentlemen, this is a final site plan for a regional wastewater treatment and disposal plant. The commission granted preliminary site plan approval and a final time extension on October 28th of 2010. That the approved use needs to be underway by December 9 of 2011. Final site plan notes and with 14 conditions of approval, and the buffers that are to be planted have been revised from Leland cypress to red cedar trees. This revision was requested by the commission and approved by the Department of Agriculture. All agency approvals have been received. The commission was previously provided with a copy of the site plan. And that's all the notes that we have from the department.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I can assure you that I have seen way more of this than I really needed to.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the request of conditional use number 1792 Wannondale site plan as a final, my motion is for approval of this site plan as a final.
Second. It's moved and seconded to approve Tidewater Environmental Services Incorporated conditional use number 1792 Wannondale final site plan on Route 24. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is Ellendale Volunteer Fire Department Incorporated conditional use number 1880 site plan on Route 213.
This is a site plan for an 8,151 square foot fire department substation located on 16.6 acres. Site is zoned AR1. The conditional use was approved on January 4th of 2011 with two conditions. Conditions of approval are noted on the site plan. Setbacks meet the minimum requirements of the code. On-site septic and well are proposed. It's not located in a flood zone. There are no wetlands on the site. If preliminary approval is granted, final approval could be subject to the staff receiving all agency approvals. And again, the commission was previously provided with a copy of the site plan. That's all I have.
Mr. Chairman, my motion is for approval of the Ellendale Fire Department, Inc. CU 1880 site plan on Road 213 and with final, with the staff receiving all agency approvals.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the Ellendale Volunteer Fire Department Incorporated site plan for conditional use number 1880 on Road 213 with the final approval to be by the staff subject to receipt of all of the permits. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
carried. Our next item is Sposato Landscaping, conditional use number 1446, revised site plan on Road 367B.
Gentlemen, this is a revised site plan for a 15 by 48 foot lean-to building in addition to a 38 by 51 pole building, and a 38 by 51 pole building barn to an existing 1,917 square foot shed. This conditional use was landscaping business was approved in April 9 of 2002 with five conditions. Condition of approval did not limit any additional buildings. The staff is questioning if an amended application is required. At the public hearing on March 14 of 2002, there were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. And again, the commission was previously provided with a copy of the site plan. These improvements were already built. They were built as a standard agricultural type pole building, and not realizing that it was a part of a conditional use when the permit was issued, I assume. But we got a situation where the improvement's already made and it is used by a conditional use for landscaping business.
Yeah.
Suggestion might be that this approval would put them on notice that they get no further expansion of any building unless they go back to public hearing. That was just what I'm suggesting that. We've done that in the past.
Mr. Lang, going down memory lane, wasn't this site approved, the conditional use for a landscaping business, was it not the subject of a applicant different than Sposato Landscaping?
The applicant was Schubert, something like that.
It was another company, Sposato bought them.
And then they bought the business and the location and expanded by getting a standard permit for a whole building.
Understood.
Difficult in the farm areas like that.
Yeah. So speaking for myself, I like Mr. Lank's, I don't know if we'll call it a suggestion or hint about any further expansion, because I know while the notes indicate that there was no opposition at the original public hearing, the use has really changed dramatically from the mom and pop operation that went in there now. I went by there about 4:30 today on the way to the site and met no less than six trucks. And I don't want to sound like Miss Timmons, but it's a big operation now. So I will incorporate into my motion any further expansion would require a public hearing. We'll see what happens. So, Mr. Chairman, regarding conditional use number 1446 as a revised site plan, my motion is for approval of that revised site plan, with that approval having the stipulation that any further expansion of the site would require a public hearing.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve Sposato Landscaping conditional use number 1446 revised site plan on Road 367B, with the stipulation that any further expansion will require a public hearing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is William W. Stevenson, Jr., three parcels and a 50-foot right-of-way on Route 26.
This is a request to subdivide a 39.11-acre parcel into three parcels with access from a 50-foot right-of-way. Lot 1 will contain 1.66 acres. Lot 2 will contain 1.35 acres. The residual lands will contain 36.10 acres. The owner is proposing to create a 50-foot right-of-way over an existing drive. DelDOT has issued a letter of no objection. This request may be approved as submitted, or an application for a major subdivision can be required. If the request is approved as submitted, it should be stipulated that any further subdivision of the site will require an application for a major subdivision. And again, the commission was provided with a copy of a sketch drawing of the request.
Mr. Chairman, I rode by this site today, and Mr. Stevenson is ill and trying to sell a couple of parcels to pay medical bills, and I think it's a suitable use. I'm going to make a motion that we approve the application of Mr. Stevenson for three parcels on a 50-foot right-of-way, with a stipulation that any further subdivision of the site will require an application for a major subdivision.
Second.
It's It's moved and seconded to approve three lots and a 50-foot right-of-way on Route 26 for Mr. William W. Stevenson, Jr. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2005-52, Underhill Properties, time extension to Marsh Island Project.
This is a request for a time extension or a determination that this subdivision has been superseded by the approval of subdivision number 2008-25. Subdivision number 2008-52 received preliminary approval on July 27th of 06. The commission granted, I got my numbers backwards, I think here, granted 1 year time extension on the August 15th of 07, July 16th of 08, July 15th of 09, July 14th of 010. Subdivision number 2008-25 was an extension of subdivision number 2005-52.
Gave four extensions?
Yeah, because of the subdivision expansion created, same time the subdivision expansion was approved, you approved another time extension because they basically would have started up one subdivision when it was going to be impacted by its own addition.
Okay.
Yeah. That subdivision number 2008-25 received preliminary approval on June 16th of 10. One of the conditions of approval was that the condition of approval on subdivision number 2005-52 shall be incorporated into this application. That since this is the case, staff is questioning if both applications are now valid until June 16th of 13. And that the commission was previously provided with a copy of a letter from an engineer advising the department about the work that has been completed to date.
As I recall, the original subdivision had a piece on it that was landlocked, and they came in on the first one and said, we're trying to acquire this, but we don't have it, so we can't present it. Years went by, like, I don't know, a couple or whatever, you know, plus the time it took to get an application through the process. They got that piece, got it incorporated in, which changed up some of their engineering, and they've been dealing with the county engineering department based on the letter since then to get it incorporated into the Angola Neck Sanitary Sewer District. So the question is, basically, did the 2008 subdivision start the clock running since that now was the whole project, or do we go back to 2005?
Yeah, I would be inclined to say it started over in 2008.
Yeah.
That was how I felt. I felt like we had to give that fourth extension so we could act on the
so we could act on it
to preserve it.
So now that's gone. Like, this is the new deal, so I think we start from 2008.
So this is a 1 year?
No, it just says if it's the 2008, it's valid until June 16th, 2013. Because it came under the new 3 years.
It came under the 3 years.
I got it. Determination.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That would be my suggestion, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, regarding the subdivision 2005-52 Underhill Properties, my motion is that it's a determination of the commission that the subdivision 2005-52 is now subdivision 2008-25.
So it would be the 2005-52 is now part of 2008-25
for the time period.
On the same time period.
With an expiration of?
With an expiration of?
June 16th, 2013.
Okay. Second.
Been moved and seconded to determine that subdivision 2005-52 Underhill Properties is now part of subdivision 2008-25 and is on the same timeline as 2008-25, which namely is valid until June 16th, 2013. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, gentlemen, that completes our agenda, referring back to our public hearings. Our first public hearing was conditional use number 1895, Freedom Worship Center Incorporated.
Mr. Chairman, my motion for CU 1895, Freedom Worship Center, Inc. is for deferral at this time.
Second.
Moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 1895, Freedom Worship Center Incorporated. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is conditional use number 1896, Timothy S. Miller.
Mr. Chairman, regarding conditional use number 1896, applicant Timothy S. Miller, my motion is for deferral at this time to allow Mr. Robertson to advise the commission insofar as the proper
public noticing. Yeah.
And for further consideration by the commission.
I've got some real concerns on that because the Board of Adjustment has been the subject of some reversals based on posting the wrong property. So I suspect we're going to be doing a do-over rather than going forward and getting it screwed up.
If it was not posted anywhere on that parcel, you have.
Well, it was posted on his property, being the applicant.
Yeah.
But it wasn't
not
the
his
parcel.
Father's property, right. Which is the site.
Exactly.
He's Don Miller's son. How they got it. He could have relocated if he had or called us. Right. We could have taken care of it.
Yeah, he probably should have known.
And I don't know that it's any great hardship for them anyway. So yeah. You know, because
I give him a chance to get his ducks in a row.
Yeah. Well, and I think since there was some significant opposition, yeah. I don't think there's any question that an issue would be made of it. So let's just go ahead and take care of that ourselves.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 1896, Timothy S. Miller, to allow council time to make a determination regarding the posting issue. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Our next public hearing was conditional use number 1898, Bruce Fisher.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.